The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, glory to God. You may remember that just a couple of months ago, I think it's been maybe two and a half months ago, David and Grace graced us with their presence as they came and told us that they were going to go to Africa. And they were just so excited about it and didn't quite know all they God had in store for them, but they were willing vessels to go. They got back, I believe, Tuesday, right? Tuesday night. And I had planned on having them come back, which I told you, you know, after they made their trip. But I thought I'd give them some time to recuperate, get over the jet lag, and then ask them to come. Well, I had the joy of having lunch with them on Thursday, right? Friday? Friday, thank you. The days are just running together. I've got too many things on my plate. But at any rate, I had lunch with them in the Riles family, and they just bubbled over. I mean, they were a Coca-Cola can shaking well, pulled the top, and they just gushed with the stories. And I was so excited that hearing what they had to say, I assumed that they would not be ready, but I asked them anyway if they would come today, and they said that they would. I don't want to take any more time than that to say that you know, David and Grace Ziegler, and they're wonderful newlyweds. They're happy about being married, but they're also happy about what God's doing in their life. So with that said and done, why don't you give them a big warm welcome, and you guys come up and introduce whoever you need to introduce, and just come up here and do whatever you need to do.
Thank you. Wow, it is wonderful to be back on American soil. And thank you. Not that we really missed it, but we had a great time, and it is amazing to be with before you again. And so, wow, we had some things that we shared with you at the end of February, and we're back, and we just want to give you a report as well as to tell you, wow, we're changed. We are changed. We knew we would leave one way and come back another, and that has surely taken place. So we are so thankful for your love, your support. Wow, when we came at the end of February, it was amazing how you guys reached out, supported us financially as well with prayers. And believe me, our time there, we felt the prayers from so many people. We were spoken to, told that folks were praying for us, not only on Facebook, but we felt the prayers while we were there, and we are just so grateful. So it's Dave and Grace today, and we're so thankful for you being here to support us once again, because we've got some good news to tell you and some things that we want to show you here as videos and pictures. And so I'm going to sit down because Grace is going to go first, and then I'll come back and finish up. But God bless and thank everyone in Jesus' name.
So good morning. It is so good to be here to worship with you this morning. I want to thank Brother Morris and Sister Pat for inviting us and having us to come. But not only for having us to come here, I want to thank you for everything that you're doing in this community, because he's a light in this community. This morning, Dave and I woke up and we were just kind of talking, and I said, I almost see him like a Moses. He's like a Moses, and he's leading pastors and ministers and lay people that are in ministry behind him in this community to make a difference. And so thank you. Thank you and Sister Pat for what you're doing, and may God bless you abundantly. Yeah. A few months ago, we had the privilege of sharing with you our call to Africa. For those who weren't here, I would like to just do a little summary and a little recap. Over 30 years ago, the Lord laid Africa on Dave's heart. And he told him, I get a little emotional. He told him one day that he would minister in Africa. Over 30-something years ago, the Lord spoke the same thing to my heart. We didn't even know one another existed. A lifetime later, and in God's perfect timing, he brought us together, and we fell in love, and we knew that the Lord was putting us together for this moment in time, to go and to minister in Africa for such a time as this. We believe with all of our heart that the body of Christ has an opportunity right now to be light in the darkness, to be salt like never before. I believe we've entered into a season in 2017 unlike we've ever had before. I know that many of you have been in the Lord a long time, and you've seen great moves of God, and you've wondered, is it ever going to happen again? And I want to say, I believe it's happening now, that we're at the very beginning of a great move of God. So we knew Africa was finally here for us. It's been a lifetime of training and equipping, because God uses everything. You know, God uses every heartache. He uses every pain. He uses everything that you've ever done for your destiny. And we believe that we're in destiny right now. Earlier last year, we formed a nonprofit organization called Int Out. And our mission is international outreach to spread the good news of the gospel all around the globe, wherever God opens up, but most especially to Africa. We came alongside, by God's grace, missionaries already on the field. This is what we want to do, is come alongside missionaries already on the field and assist them in their work. And so our first divine appointment and connection was with a missionary named Darren O'Quinn, who is from Bogalusa, Louisiana. He has a testimony in itself that is so powerful. And he is just a man of God who loves the Lord and who goes throughout Uganda. He is known as the Hallelujah Man throughout Masaka especially. Because he loves to go down the street, and as he goes down the street, he just yells real loud, Hallelujah! And everybody turns around to look. So after all these years, he's now known as the Hallelujah Man. And everywhere we went, because you don't drive in Uganda, you get a driver. And that's another story in itself. But we would be in the back of the vehicle, and the windows, of course, are down because there's no air conditioning. And the windows are down. And okay, we're white in an African society, so we're called Manzungus, okay? We're called Manzungus. And throughout Masaka, we only saw, besides Darren, who is Caucasian, we only saw two other girls for about the first week. Now, we saw a few later, but the first week, we're the only Manzungus around. And so I guess you can see us pretty easily through the windows of the car. And as we would go down the rocky roads, the dirt roads, people are all lined up on the street because they're very communal. It's not like our streets that are pretty much empty of people, but it is filled with cars. In Africa, the streets are filled with people, cars, bulls, longhorn bulls, goats, chickens, you name it, the streets are filled with it. It's constant activity and noise. And we'd go down the street, and people would see us going by, and they would yell, Hallelujah! Because they saw Darren in the car. So he was known as Hallelujah Man. And we linked up with him. He is married to a Ugandan woman. Her name is Fatuma. I won't tell you their testimonies because they're going to come in July, and we are hoping to have them here. And you will get to meet them firsthand, along with their sweet little darling baby. He's named Baby James. So we linked up with them. They run an orphanage called Love and Care for All. And it truly is love and care for all who come through their doors. They really don't. We call it an orphanage so that you know what we're talking about. They don't call it an orphanage. They call it a family. And they have, at present, 100 children there that range in the age from about 18 months all the way to about 17, 18 years old. They don't turn anybody away. Any child that comes to them is accepted. And I did mean what I said, a child that comes to them. Because Uganda has one of the highest percentages of street children. a high percentage of orphans due to years and years of dictatorship under Idi Amin, also because they have one of the highest rates of AIDS. And so many of the parents are deceased, and there are little babies and children fending for themselves on the streets of Uganda. There are many, many orphanages in Uganda. They run the one called Love and Care for All. So from the beginning, we knew we were going to assist them. We asked what was their greatest need, and they asked us to please bring tennis shoes and backpacks. That the children didn't have shoes, most of them didn't. There's 60-something of them go to school and need shoes, tennis shoes and backpacks. So that's what we did. And the Lord provided through all of the saints around us here in your church and through other churches and individuals. We brought 106 pairs of shoes. And we brought 47 backpacks to them. And we knew that's what we were going for, but we knew that wasn't all what it was about. We sensed in our spirit that the Lord was going to do something mighty, more than we could ask, that there were going to be many things in ways in which the Lord would move. So we set out just in obedience. Now, there were many other items, I want you to know that. Other people, and from your church, gave toothbrushes and toothpaste, small flashlights, kazoos, which the little kids loved, dishcloths, lip balm, and so many other items. We packed as much as the airline would let us pack. By prayers that were going up, we even received a waiver on the extra baggage fees, which saved us about $600 or $800 in baggage fees. Delta, praise God for Delta and for their heart of compassion. Now, they have told us in the letter, we will grant it this one time, don't ask again this calendar year. But they did say this calendar year. So when 2018 gets here, they'll get another letter from us. But meanwhile, we got everything there, and the Lord everything went perfect. Nothing could have gone any more smooth. I mean, getting the luggage, nothing was touched, nothing was ruined. Everything went great. Now, I'd like you also to know that money was given, and we sent it to them, and 50 Bibles were purchased for the children. They got half of them in the Lugandan language. That's the language there in Masaka. The official language, the national language, is Swahili. But in Masaka, they speak Lugandan. And they also speak English. So half of the Bibles were Lugandan and half of them were English. They want the children to learn to speak both. Now, there are many, many other stories I could tell you. There were generous donations that were given. I want you to know you all made it possible. I can't tell you enough how much you're part. When people go out to another country on a mission or an assignment, I have never been more aware of how the body of Christ works than I am now. You can't do it on your own. You just can't do it on your own. And the body of Christ goes with you. So we made sure that everywhere we went, we brought them greetings from you. We helped them to understand you have brothers and sisters in Christ on the other side of the globe. They love you. They care for you. They sent these items to you to bless you. And they received them graciously. Now, we also went and brought tools and supplies for them to make crosses. Dave makes the horseshoe nail crosses. We brought that and left that with them. David taught the young boys, the teenage boys, how to make them. They caught on like that. And before we left, a praise report, before we left Ugandan soil, had already made contact with another missionary there who is running four orphanages and a restaurant, and the restaurant supports the orphanages. He has a gift shop in the restaurant. And he came to us and said he would like to carry the children, the crosses that they make, he's going to carry them in his shop and sell them, and they will get the profits. He's also going to carry the jewelry. We let him know that they were also making other crafts, and he's going to carry that in his shop, and so that they can be a little self-supporting and earn their own monies. Now, more than what I want to say also is that we have many stories. We have so many stories and testimonies that we could share with you. But because of limited time, we need to focus on a few main ones. And Pastor Morris heard some of them, and I think some of their favorites, that's the ones we will zero in on this morning. So I'd like to show you a few slide photos so that you can get a taste of Africa. I'll just tell you a little bit about them, and then I'm going to share two testimonies with you. And then Dave will follow me and come up after that. The Republic of Uganda is this small, kind of peach-colored one in the middle there. It's right near Lake Victoria. You see Lake Victoria? Okay, so Uganda is in the yellow. We flew into Entebbe. Kampala is just north of it, and Kampala is the capital. The orphanage that we went to is down lower, and it's Masaka, M-A-S-A-K-A, Masaka. So that's where we spent the majority of our time, in Masaka. Uganda was named by Winston Churchill. He called it the Pearl of Africa because of its beauty, and it really is beautiful. It's very lush, lush green plants and fruits and vegetables growing everywhere, every little square inch. You know, we tend to have a yard and we landscape it. They don't landscape. Every part of their yard is growing food to eat. Whether it's trees or plants, it's food to eat. So that's a little bit about Uganda. They get about 80 inches of rainfall per year. So we're no stranger to that. We understand about lots of rain. Uganda is home to much wildlife. And as this goes through, I'll tell you a little bit about that. That was our first day. Everything is quite primitive, and they had welcomed us with this little thing. It said, "You are welcome to love and care for all, Uganda family, dear David and Grace. Feel at home. Jesus is under control." And then it says, "Thanks for joining our family. We love you so much." That was our welcome on inside. Then they said we needed to go outside. When we walked outside, David and I were overwhelmed by these drawings in the dirt. They actually took dirt and kind of used it to make a picture. And so it said, "You're welcome, dear David and Grace, at," and then it's the initials, "Love and Care for All." And then the three people who made it put their names in there. The next photo shows another thing they did in the dirt, and that was a palm tree. And I thought, David and I looked at that and we said, you know what, we're learning something already. They don't have anything, but they use what they do have to be creative. They had dirt, so they drew in the dirt for us. All right, our next photo, this again is still the first day, and actually, I cannot do what they did, and we have videos, but again, time won't let us show them. They asked us to sit on a little bench, and all of the children got in front of us, and they started singing and dancing, and one would come out and say, "Hi, I'm Grace," and they would do this little dance, and while they were doing their little dance, all the kids behind them were singing the rest of the song, and the song said, "I am Grace. I have been waiting, I have been anticipating, and celebrating this special day with you." So we had a long time as many of them came out and introduced themselves and sang this song. Then they lined up, and we were overwhelmed at the love that they were showing us. Okay, our next picture is chickens. They have a chicken farm. This is because the children never get any meat. They live off of what's called posh and beans. They also have porridge. But these chickens are a new brood of chickens that they've gotten. They don't lay eggs. They're so that they can kill them and eat them and once in a while give the children some chicken to eat. This is the front of Love and Care for All. It's a little bit deceiving because this is only the front part and you can't see the buildings behind it. But this is where Darren and Fatuma and baby James live. There are also other rooms in there where some of the older children live. There's one room with the small children, and then there's another room with older girls in it. The bricks that you see stacked up used to be a huge fence or a wall in front of it. But the government came through a few days before we arrived and dug up all the road in front of them and tore down the wall. So that's what's stacked in front there. Okay. Pigs. They are raising pigs. And this is also because they want to be self-sustaining. They did on Easter kill a pig and fed the children pork. But their goal is to raise pigs and process the meat and sell the meat so they can support the orphanage. Now, this is when Dave was teaching the older boys how to make crosses. So these are some of the tools and supplies that we brought to them. They caught on immediately, and that's what they're doing. They're making crosses. The same thing here. Dave is giving them instruction. I took this picture. This is Subira, and she is cooking potatoes because they wanted to serve Dave and I lunch. And this is how she has to work, on the floor. And then up on top of that table is two little burners, and that is how she fixed our lunch. This is Brother Allen. And please pray for Brother Allen. He is so instrumental at that orphanage. He is working at the on his social worker degree. And he is the one who has taught the children how to make all those crafts, all the jewelry and everything back there. He works there every day. I have never seen a man with such love for children like this man has. It's amazing. He's like a father to all of these kids. Brother Allen. This is part of their water system. We've got two photos. You can go to the next one, too. This is how they get their water. There is no hot water, by the way. No hot water. And in Uganda, we were without electricity as much as we were with it. So it goes out for no reason, no notice, and you just do what you got to do without the electricity. This is to show you how fertile it is. Everywhere we went, we saw greenery like this. The tall plants, that is not banana trees. That's called matoki. And it looks like a banana, but it's matoki. We got to see wildlife. Baboons are plentiful. Giraffes. Water buffalo. Water buffalo are one of the most dangerous animals there. We did stay overnight at one place, and we were not allowed to leave out of our door once we got in unless we would have an armed guard with us, because the water buffalo would come up to where we were, and they will kill humans for no reason. Elephants crossed right in front of us. Hippopotamuses. This was several hippopotamuses. It was a mom and her baby. You can't see it too clearly, but in the background is a giraffe and a water buffalo. And Uganda is on the equator, okay? Uganda is right on the equator. So you'll see later in a photo that one day we were actually on the equator, and it was marked north and south. So Dave and I, he stood north, I stood south. It was interesting. This is just some of the beautiful palm trees that are there. Now, a lot of people say to me, that's a termite pile. No, we were with African people. They said, that's an ant pile. And I stood next to it so you could see just how huge it was. And these are all over the place. And this is Dave and I at Murchison Falls. Dave is going to talk to you later about a great spiritual time that took place at Murchison Falls. And this is us at Murchison Falls. You can see the falls in the background. That's me on the left, Fatuma, Baby James, Brother Darren, and our precious new son in the faith, Valentino. And we'll tell, one of the testimonies I share with you will be Valentino's testimony. And there we are again, just so happy to be at the falls. That is the Nile River, okay? Those falls, that's the Nile River that goes between that gap. And the waterfall there is called Murchison Falls, and it is the strongest waterfall in the world, the force at which it falls. This is the waterfalls, and can you see the rainbow? Okay, right near the waterfalls, God is such he's a wonderful creator. We were blown away that by the most powerful waterfall in the world, right next to it was rocks, and Dave took a picture of these butterflies. There were hundreds of these blue butterflies, so you had the most delicate creature and the most powerful water force right there next to one another. This is Dave preaching. We had the honor and the privilege of preaching at Masaka Christian Fellowship. That is his interpreter. All of the orphanage goes to this church. So Pastor Morris, can you imagine? They fill up a whole church when they walk in with 100 kids. This pastor has more kids in his congregation than adults. But he is so blessed because one day I got to minister to those kids. And I asked them, what do you want to do when you grow up? What is your dream? What has God put in you? I was amazed at what I heard. It brought tears to my eyes. The little hands went up. And as I called on them one at a time, many of them said, I want to be a pastor. Some of them said, I want to be an evangelist. One little boy raised his hand. He said, I want to be a prophet. And I believe that they are raising up apostles, prophets, teachers, and evangelists and pastors. This is a stack of the backpacks. We did give them out as part of a service. So, you know, it was separate. We gave out at one service. We gave out the shoes. And Dave's going to talk to you about that because it was part of a foot washing ceremony that we gave out the shoes. But we gave out backpacks too and Bibles. This is on that day when they were calling up the kids to come and get their backpacks. They are very loving. They are so filled with joy. These children do not have anything to call their own, not even the clothes that you see them wearing. The clothes are just at the orphanage, and they put on whatever fits them in the morning. We were amazed at how they'll put on whatever fits. Sometime you'd see a little boy, and he would have on pink flowered pants and girl shoes, but he didn't care. He had clothes and shoes on. This is a set of drums that the Lord laid on our hearts that you helped to provide. That the children didn't have any way to make music when they sing, and they praise every day. They get up at 5:30 every morning for prayer meeting, and that is how they start their day, even the little tiny ones. But they didn't have any way to make music. So we thought, every kid that lives in Africa needs African drums. So we got them this African set of drums. Nobody needed to teach them how to play them. It's in them. Let's see. My pictures of all of Valentino are missing. Can you see if you can find them? With the video. No, yeah, I had a video at the end. That's little Ronald. There should be a whole bunch of Valentino's family before that. Can't find them? Okay. While Jim is looking for those, I will begin to tell you about Valentino. The first day that we arrived, the very first morning, we arrived late in the wee hours of the morning. So once we got rested up and hit the neck that day, the first thing we needed to do was, oh, that's the mayor. Let me tell you about that picture. Okay, that is Darren and me and Dave, and that is the mayor of Masaka. And Fatuma and baby James. We felt like the Lord was, you know, for some reason, we don't know why, God's put a governmental mandate on us. We knew we'd get to meet government officials. We didn't know how, but we knew we would. And sure enough, We arrived at the hotel one night, and Fatuma comes walking out and says, I've got the mayor here to meet with you. So we got to meet him. You can see he's holding hands with Dave. He was a very gracious man. Dave had a cross that he presented to him, a necklace, and the man bowed his head for us to put it on him, which amazed me. Later on, we found out that he was at the hotel not because of the huge wedding that was going on, but he was there to watch a football game. And he was sitting near a table where we were, and there were Muslim men in garments. You knew they were Muslims, but yet he wore that cross. It was amazing to us. This is Baby Beautiful. We're at the orphanage there, and she's the youngest one, and they named her Baby Beautiful. They got her when she was an infant, and she was malnourished and had many other problems. But here she is now, healthy. Her name is Monica. This is the morning that we were leaving. And we had made several friends. You can hold it right there. We had made several friends at the restaurant. We loved them, but we didn't know how much they loved us. And all of them, when they found out we were leaving, they came and were crying and were bringing us gifts. It was very touching. And we keep hearing from them. We have an app on our phone. We hear from them every morning. And we'll wake up to, hello, Mom. So they call us Mom and Mommy. They call him Daddy. Okay, here is the testimony of what God did. This is Valentino. Valentino is 26 years old. Valentino was our driver for most of the time. And the first morning, after he got us at the hotel, he took us to a bank so we could change our currency from U.S. dollars to shillings. Dave and Darren went into the bank. And I was in the van with Valentino, and we were strangers. So what do you do when you're with a stranger? You just try to begin to get to know one another. And I started asking him the normal questions that you would to try to get to know one another. We had a great time talking and sharing. He spoke English. And finally, I thought, gee, if I'm going to be in this van a long time, and I'm here in Uganda, I got to get this conversation to go spiritual some kind of a way, right? And so I prayed for the Lord to help me with that. And finally, I just thought, I'll just point blank ask him. I said, so, Valentino, are you a Christian? And with his wonderful accent, I wish you could hear him, he says, oh, I'm a Christian. He says, I believe in Jesus. I know he is the Son of God. He said, but if you're asking me if I'm a born-again Christian, no, I am not. He said, but I want to know God better. I've been praying to know God better. And I've been praying really hard that he would send someone to tell me, how do I get born again? How do I do this? And how do I get close to God? And I said, Valentino, I said, it's really easy. It's so easy we miss it. And so I began to witness to him about the difference between knowing that he's Jesus and receiving him into our hearts. I began to explain to him what the born-again experience means and what happens inside of us. After I did that, I said, Valentino, would you like to receive Jesus as your personal Savior? Yes. Yes. I said, well, okay, let's look at the scriptures. I want to make sure you understand. So I pulled out my Bible, said, Valentino, do you read English? Yes, I read English. I said, then we're going to read John chapter 3 together. I want you to read it. So we pull it out, and he reads chapter 3, all about Nicodemus and being born again, and how Jesus said, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven until you're born again. He reads that, and when he finishes, he looks at me. He says, so, let's do it now. I said, yeah, now. Why not now? And so I said, now what we're going to do is pray. Okay, he says. So he bows his head, and we're in the front of the van holding hands and praying for Valentino to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He prayed the prayer. You know, I didn't even have to tell him what to say. I said, Valentino, you talk to God. I have never heard such a beautiful prayer in all my life. As he told God, he said, I'm surrendering my life to you. I'm giving you my heart, and I'm giving you my life. I want to do what's right. And he just began to pray from his heart. Meanwhile, as he's praying, Dave and Darren come back into the van and to us bowed down in prayer. And they realized what was going on, and they quietly got in the back, and I said, just join us in prayer, guys. So they did, and we had a great, powerful time in the Lord. Valentino's story continues to grow. Valentino was a blessing to us. The next day, he was so excited about his new faith in God, he kept saying, I'm born again. I'm born again. I'm a new creature. I'm a new man. We said, yes, you are. So the next day, he said, I want to take you for a ride. I want you to visit my parents. He's 26 years old. Let me tell you, he has a degree. He went to Kampala University. He's an electrical engineer. He has a brilliant mind. He's very, very smart, and God's favor is on this young man. So he took us about a half hour, 45-minute ride away to visit his dad and his mom. His dad, or you want me to tell, or are you going to tell about the thing? His dad said to us, after we met with him and talked with them in their home, we asked, could we pray a blessing over him and his family and his home? And he said, yes. And then Dave gave him and the mama a cross. He then volunteered this and looked at Dave and said, in all of his life, he said, I have only had one other Manzungu in his home before. He said, and that man was not interested in us. He was only here to find out about our culture. He said, but you've come here today, and you love us. You care about us. And the only reason I share that with you is because you know what? When we show the love of Christ, people sense the difference. And they're drawn to the love of Christ. And I'm sharing these details also with you because it's part of the story as it unfolds. So we go there, and God's given us favor with the mom and the dad. His family is Catholic. Now, in Uganda, they call it Catholic, okay? Catholic. That's because they don't have the L sound for in that word. So, Catholic, okay? And in Uganda, Catholics and born-again Christians, there's a great divide between them. It's just different than it is here. There's a great divide in Uganda. So, God gives us favor. We're born-again Christians in this man's home, and we're Manzungus. But God gives us favor, and he senses the love of Christ. So that's the story at that house. Okay, our next one. We're on the equator. This is the day that we're leaving, and we're on the way back to Entebbe. That's Valentino with us. And on that day, he brings his brother. His brother's name is Alan. Okay? He brings Alan with him. And we go, you can hold it on that one, I think. Let me see the next one. My next photo? Yes, hold it right there. Okay. So on that day, we stop to buy Valentino a Bible so that he can have a Bible. He's going to go to Dubai. You helped to do that. He had come to us one morning, and he was crying. He was upset and distraught. His words were, I have lost all hope, and I don't know what to do. And as his story unfolded, as I told you, he's an electrical engineer, and he's been looking for a job. It's not easy for an engineer to get a job in Uganda. He wanted to provide not only for his family, but for his mom and dad, who are retirement age now. He had applied for an engineering job in Dubai. And they called him and said, you've got the job. It's a 2-year contract. He needed to get there by the Wednesday after we were leaving, and he didn't have the funds to do that. So Dave and I, we prayed about it. We talked with Darren. Darren asked the pertinent questions that needed to be asked to make assurance that this was a good and profitable investment. And after all things that we could tell, this man was someone that God was doing something with. And so we made arrangements for his ticket so he could get to Dubai. His plans are to save up the money in Dubai and then to come back at the end of 2 years and start his own business. On the day that we were leaving, he was always full of surprises. We did a baptismal service on the Sunday that we were leaving, or the Friday. Anyway, he said to us, when we asked where he, on Sunday when we preached, we invited him to come, and he texted back on the phone and said, "I'm in church." We found out later, he not only went to church, he gave his testimony about being born again. He's 1 week old in the Lord, but he's given his testimony. While we were eating lunch on the way to the airport, he then says to us, "I have an announcement to make when you finish eating." We finished eating. He says, "Now, my announcement is this." He said, "What you didn't know when you came here and prayed with me to receive the Lord, you didn't know that I was married and that I have 2 children. He said, "You didn't know that I divorced my wife because she was born again." He said, "She was born again and I could not handle it. So I left her and I divorced her." He said, "I've taken care of the kids, but I couldn't deal with that." He said, "But when you prayed," he said, and "I prayed with you and I received the Lord," he said, "the next day, God began dealing with my heart that what I did was wrong and that I needed to be restored to my wife." He said, "So I want to tell you that this past weekend, I went to her. Her name is Juliet, and we have been restored to one another." He said, "So now I'm going to get my kids back," because the mother-in-law had the children. He says, "I'm going to get my kids back." And I said, "Do you have a picture of her?" He laid out these pictures. That's Juliet. He then pops this next one on us. He says, "And what we all didn't know is that Juliet was fasting and praying that I would get born again." So we got to meet Juliet and his little children. His little boy's name is Vienna, and the little girl's name is Hope. As if that wasn't a powerful enough testimony of what God was doing in him, he then says, "And my brother Alan," who's sitting on the other side of the table, he says, "Alan got born again." We said, "How did Alan get born again?" Alan pipes up with his big, huge smile. He says, I had to. He says, "My brother came and told me his story of how he got born again and how God's changing him and how he got restored back to his wife." He said, I had to get born again. And so he led Alan to the Lord. And I said, "Valentino, how did you know how to lead him to the Lord?" He says, "I just did what you did." So there is Valentino. He took us to go and be with his little children, and then there were other children there as well. And we are in touch with Valentino. That's his 2 children. We get texts from him too in the morning. Says, "Hi, mommy. How, daddy?" And he calls us, and we will stay in touch with Valentino because we know God is going to use that man mightily. He's already won a soul to Christ. He went and talked with his parents to let them know he had gotten born again. He said he didn't know how the father would handle it, because usually over there, if a Catholic says they've gotten born again, they ostracize them. He went to his father. He told his father all the things that God's doing in his life, and his father said, "No problem." Amen. No problem. Now, a very quick one. The little boy right there in the peach-colored shirt, his name is Ronald. And you, right there, little Ronald. Take a good look at little Ronald, because God is healing little Ronald. The morning that we arrived at the orphanage, they had just gotten Ronald. He's about 5 years old. He had been severely abused and beaten by his mother. He had an open wound on his head. That's why they've got the hat on his head. He had an open wound on his head, bruises and battered all over his body. His stomach was swollen. He had other problems with his body where they had to take him to the emergency room. Ronald had been so traumatized that when we got there, there was no life in his eyes, and he didn't even blink. He just kind of stared through things and people, a blank stare. Within a couple days after being there, as he's in that loving environment, the love of Jesus is amazing. Healing comes from the love of Jesus. And Ronald, within 2 days, I was sitting on a bench. All the kids were all around me. And all of a sudden, I felt someone grab the back of my arm. And I heard a little voice say, "Mom?" And I looked, and it was Ronald. He finally was able to come near people because he wouldn't come near any person. He was finally coming, and all he wanted to do was just, I put my arm around him, held him close on the side, and of course put my other hand on him and began to pray for his healing, as well as many other people were praying for healing. Ronald's story continued to unfold. We would see him during the week as he would just kind of walk around. Dave's going to share with you about the foot washing ceremony where Ronald began to get his healing. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, God is healing him from the trauma that he has been through. I just would like to close with this scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:13 through 15 says, "Whatever we do, it is certainly not for our own profit, but because Christ's love controls us now. Since we believe that Christ died for all of us, we should also believe that we have died to the old life we used to live. He died for all, so that all who live, having received eternal life from him, might live no longer for themselves, to please themselves, but to spend their lives pleasing Christ, who died and rose again for them." Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, I've got mine. Okay. Good job. Just a few more things to add to our exciting trip. We were so blessed, as Grace was saying earlier, that, boy, do you feel the prayers? And we have felt the prayers. We do this not by ourselves. We do it with everyone, with your concern, your prayers. And we felt those prayers, by the way. Wanted to just mention a couple other things that took place while we were there. We, on two separate occasions while we were here before we went, Grace and I knew that we were going to bring these shoes and backpacks to these children. But isn't it amazing how he spoke to her and I, not that we when we were together, but when we were apart, that we should go to these children and that we should wash their feet and then anoint their feet with oil and prepare them and commission them to be evangelists from ages 5 to 17. And you know, it's one of these things that when God puts it on you to go to visit a foreign field, that we have something to bring, not just physical goods, but spiritual wealth as well. We've been given a lot in our country. We've got peace to operate and do all that we can on our land. And it's not always the case over there. You may have war, you may have what have you, famine. In fact, the place just finished the famine before we got there, and God sent water to them and rain. So we were so grateful because the greenery started coming back, and you could see how lush it was beginning to get again. But yet, he put on Grace's heart, and he put on my heart that we should do this. So as a part of what we did was before the children were given their shoes, we each got a big basin, Grace on one side and me on the other side, and we filled it with water, and we began to wash the children's feet one day. And it was a wonderful time. It was a very humbling time because we knew that they needed to experience what we felt like God was saying for us to do. So we went and we washed feet and had a great time doing it. After we washed the child's feet, we would anoint those child's feet. We would pray over those child, over these particular children. Well, to our surprise, after we finished that ceremony, there was something that took place that so blessed our hearts. And I wonder if we have that video where we can show as to what took place. And there's little Ronald right there, too.
Touch my body.
Satuma asked us to sit and for each child to wash our feet. So we sat down and we began to have our feet washed. They're waiting in line there to wash our feet. It was a very humbling experience because we felt God's presence as we were having our feet washed. So thankful for what they did for us. It was an amazing, amazing, humbling experience. These children don't have much, but I'll say this on a physical realm, but they have love that we have not seen before. When you arrived on the property of where they were, you felt the love of Jesus. You felt the love of Jesus. You didn't want to leave. You felt the hugs as they embraced you. And it was indeed a humbling experience. What a time it was. We long to go back next fall, well, this fall, and finish up with a medical mission. But before we do that, we've got something else that took place, and I won't belabor this, but if you were here the last time we spoke, we knew that God was placing on us the ability to, wow, have this thing, what we call a governmental mantle. On the day that we went to the falls up there that you saw some pictures of, we went to a high point up there where the mountains were. And just the day before we did what we were about to do up there at Murchison Falls, we were eating dinner with Valentino and the rest of the team. And it was amazing what came out of Valentino's mouth. And it was something that we knew was of God, and that was this. He began to talk to us and to tell us about how he was basically perturbed with the idea that the past administration here in the United States did what they did. And I'll just basically say this. Under the past presidential administration, Uganda had monies held back and aid held back from them because at that particular 8-year period and even before that, because the Ugandan people did not accept the immoral lifestyle of the LGBT and abortion, which was considered illegal and still is considered illegal in their country, because they did not embrace those agendas, monies were held back from them. And he, Valentino, spoke about that. And we already knew about this. And we said, now, even that he knows, we know that it was confirming what we needed to do the next day. So the next day we got up, we went to the falls with Valentino and Fatuma as representatives of the country of Uganda. Grace and I apologized, not as government officials sent to their country, but as spiritual chaplains and pastors, to ask for forgiveness for what had taken place as far as with what our country was doing as the United States, and that would be withholding funds and aid from them because they did not address and succumb to the immoral lifestyle that was being pushed on them. They said no to it. And they accepted our apology. We felt that this was needing to be done there, and as a result, we did it on a high place in their country where the waters come through this great waterfall and that go down into a river called the Nile River and extend 4,000 miles north to Egypt. Funny how that river runs south to north, not north to south. And we agreed and we prayed while we were up on that mountain that God was doing a great change in that nation. And we believe that as we prayed, as we set forth the standard of asking for forgiveness, that God heard our prayer. And so we believe that when we go back, we are going to begin to see great changes, not only in that country of Uganda, but in the whole region an area where that river Nile flows. And you know, sometimes you don't exactly know what you're doing. When God says to do something, we just do it. We realize that the end times are coming. And we're beginning to see acceleration like we have never, with the gospel being preached, with the internet being the way it is. There is no lack of gospel preaching in the world. There is no lack. People can turn on their computers, turn on their radios, what have you, and hear gospel preaching really anywhere now in the world that you go. It's incredible. And as a result, we want to be a part of this, but yet we see how close the end is to be. I'm not one that waits around. I'm not going to talk about the by and by, but I do realize that he said in the scripture that we should occupy until his return. And to get about the Father's business, which we've had the opportunity to do so, and many of us have had the opportunity, and we long to continue with the opportunity that he's given us. We also realize, even now with this present administration in Washington, that we have a president that I turn the news on daily and see that he has done something to reverse the curse on our nation. And things are taking place at a rapid advancement. We're seeing history take place. We're seeing orders that were presidentially put into place years ago reversed because God is saying it's time for America to stand up as that city on a shining hill and do great things. Now, we have done great things as a nation before, but you know how wonderful it is to leave St. Tammany Parish, get on a plane, and go to another foreign country and say, it's not only my family backing me up, we've got churches backing us up, we've got government officials backing us up from the great parish of St. Tammany. We've got leaders and government leaders in our parish that are not afraid to say, Jesus Christ is my Savior. And folks, most of them do. Our parish president, our sheriff, our mayors, they're willing to say, I don't care about your legal, your liberal agenda. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to let you know we want to serve you. So thus, turns out, of this parish, people that want to go do great things because we're backed. So it's an amazing thing to get on a plane and go and be represented not only by our church and our spiritual leaders, but by our government leaders as well. That's why we believe he's given us a mandate to do what we do. We didn't know we were going to meet the mayor of Masaka. He ran into us physically at the hotel we were staying in. We believe that next time that we go, we're going to have greater opportunity to speak into the lives of government leaders and let them know that we're here for a purpose. And by the way, they knew we were here for a purpose. But so that we can take what we've been given with the great freedoms we've been given in our country and go and do great things. There are many young people that want to come beside us, that are educated people, that want to say, we're ready to go do this. There are more young people nowadays that are more globally minded, that are amazing and saying, we want to take this gospel. So we're just getting started. Yes. We've got young people to train, and we're going to go do this because we understand how important it is that this end time harvest is about hand. But we need the help, and we need the people to do it. Wow, I'm amazed. So this has been our presentation to you today. We are so excited. We're so thankful. We have many plans to give our Uganda presentation to some other folks as well in the city, as well as some other areas that we'll be traveling. But it's with great excitement that we do this together. And know that you have enabled us to do what we do. Your support, your love, your prayers do great things. And when we link, wow, preparation with obedience, wow, here comes success. We've heard that opportunity and preparation meet and thus success. But I'd say something else. It's when you meet preparation and obedience together. Wow, that's the ingredient for success. Success according to the Scripture. Success according to what we can do to bless others. And so today, thank you. Thank you. That's my prayer. I don't know if we can, you see the way in which we feel, but we really go with you. And so the next time that we go, it'll be in the fall. It'll be a medical mission. We'll have a team of people that we're working on even as we speak to take with us next time and go back to Masaka and into some other more remote villages to deal with people, to be able to do some medical help, but also to preach the gospel. Folks, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing time. God is here. He's here to bless you and to strengthen you. And Grace, I want you to come up, and we're going to end this with a song that we learned, that you just heard, but that we grabbed a hold of, and we want to sing it for you. So, oh, yes. There's one more thing after we sing this song, but it goes like this, and you can sing it with us
we
if
you
caught
on.
Okay, it goes like this. Touch my body, touch my soul, touch my spirit, and make me whole. Very simple. Touch my body, touch my soul, touch my spirit, and make me whole. One more time. Touch my body, touch my soul, touch my spirit, and make me whole. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads before we are dismissed today and before Pastor Morris comes. And Father, thank you for today. Lord, for the report at which we were able to go and to minister to your people, dear God. To love on, to be a part of, to speak with, to baptize, to preach the gospel, to bring items that were needed, and to see even fruit take place quickly, dear God. That's how we know that the end is near, that we're able to see fruit, Lord, even in the lives of these amazing people. We send the word, dear God, to each of these children that we were able to touch. We send the word to Valentino and his family. Yes. We thank you, dear God, that you said in Acts 16:31 that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we shall be saved and our household. So we pray that, dear God, even into these, to Valentino and to his family. Father, we pray that into all of our families here today, Lord, whether we're seated here at this church or if you're listening live stream. Believe that the Lord has promised salvation to you and your family, and that we are to accept and to pray and believe for their salvation. And Father, we thank you and we praise you now, dear God, for all that you've got planned and all, dear God, that you are sending us to do. We do it with a smile on our face, Lord, with the ability to realize that, yeah, there are tough times ahead, but yet, Father, you've equipped us to do the work that you've put in front of us. We're grateful. We're smiling, we're praising, we're giving you glory, Father, in order that you receive the glory. We thank you that all these things are done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There's one more video. Please, take a look. Woo! Hey, if you go, you gotta have fun. We said we were going to dance with the African people, and we did. So there you go. Brother Morris, thank you. Amen.
David and Grace.
Thank you.
How great. God bless you, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, now you know why I brought him in here today. As I heard this story Friday, I just wanted you to hear him. thank you for helping them to be able to go. They have some jewelry and some other items back there. Did you say this when I was on? No, okay. Some things, and if you'd like to purchase those things, they're available. I don't know what the prices are, but whatever they are, just pay double, and it'll be just fine, okay? So let's all stand. We'll continue before you guys go, when you have your preparations, come back again and tell us about it, and we'll receive a special offering for you at that time to send you off on that trip. Only if you promise to come back again and tell us some more, okay? And they, as they mentioned, the folks from the orphanage are making plans to come to the U.S., and hopefully their schedule will permit, and we'll bring them here to the church so that you can meet them firsthand. God is doing wonderful things. God takes the foolish things of the world and confounds the wise. When David was here last time, he and Grace mentioned that at their age, they should be coming back from the missionary field, and they're going out. They're not old, but they're not 20-year-olds anymore, okay? But God's using them. I think the maturity and the wisdom and experience that they have, it's necessary at this stage in the world. So thank you for going. Thank you for coming today and for sharing with us. Father, we ask your blessings upon David and Grace and all the ministry and all the things that they're doing. Bless their sacrifice. Meet their needs, not according to our ability, but according to your riches and glory. Father, bless them for having blessed us today. And for those folks, Valentino, the little boy, what a story, Father. What a story. I look forward to Valentino's mother and dad moving into the born-again ranks. Thank you for restoring that family, a man and a wife and his children, a brother. God, your ability to do things exceeds our capacity to understand. But we thank you for it. Bless our day. Watch over us wherever we go. For we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.